Take your Bibles and go to Ephesians, please. In the evenings, we have been studying Ephesians, and I think I was led, I hope I was led by the Lord, to preach the evening text this morning. It's a little bit different for us. So do you know that the offices of counselor, the offices of therapist, the offices of psychiatrist or psychologist are not in the Bible? Yet, what they do is. In fact, only Jesus is referred to as the wonderful counselor. Only Jesus. Have you ever wondered to yourself why so many people who attend weekly corporate worship services all over the United States are still on a regular and consistent basis seeing therapists and trained professionals each and every week, many of which have no affiliation with the church at all? Why is it that the Christian counseling industry is exploding in size? Is it God's plan for God's people to pay counselors $100 an hour to talk to them? Have you ever thought about group therapy in light of the Bible? Group therapy. You know, I'm doing group. That's kind of hip when you do group. It's a way, you know, got a problem doing group. Have you ever thought about group therapy in light of the Bible? Is the entire counseling industry standing in a gap that the church is supposed to fill? Has this industry exploded because the church is not doing what it's called to do? Is this a result of the failure of the church? And so wonderful Christian men and women have recognized that the church is not doing what it's supposed to do. So in an attempt to help people, this industry has exploded. And let me just issue a disclaimer so you don't think what I'm not saying and that I don't lose you. I am not for a moment here to beat up on the Christian counseling ministries. Make sure you heard me say that. I'll say it one more time. I'm not doing that. I'm talking to the church this morning. I want to talk to us. This is not for the sinners outside. This is not for the unsaved people that are coming. This is us. This is us. I chose to preach this message in the morning instead of the evening because I know that more people, David, will hear this message in the morning than the evening. And this message is for us in these, I couldn't say four walls, six walls, whatever shape this unique thing is. It's for us. Let us be very clear. We want to praise God for Christian counselors who have stood in the gap when the church wasn't doing what the church is supposed to do. So I don't want anyone leaving here thinking ill of that ministry. I want to focus on us this morning. 517 Glensford Drive, Berean, this body of Christ. And I want to do it from this text. Now you can stand. There are five words that I want to draw to your attention from verse 15. Five words. I want to preach from the text, but I want to focus on five words. And these words begin in verse 15, and they come after the contrasting conjunction, but. But, Paul writes, but speaking the truth in love. There it is right there. Simple. almost too simple. Speaking the truth in love, we, implied by the plurality of the text, we may grow up into Christ. The King James says him, it's the pronoun referring to Christ, who is the head of the church, even Christ. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, that's us, the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplies. So now we're using an analogy, joints and ligaments supplying what the body needs according to the, notice please, effectual working in the measure of every part. And notice what this body does. It makes increase of the body unto, notice now, the edifying of itself in love. Let's pray. Father, help me this morning. Help me to effectively and clearly communicate such that some don't misunderstand my words and others are offended. I pray that none of that happens this morning, God. I pray that the Holy Spirit keeps our hearts and minds attuned to the words, and that I am careful in what I say, and that the church hears what you would have us to hear from this text. And I pray this in Jesus' mighty name, fully dependent on the Holy Spirit to do what Sean Harris cannot do. So come, Holy Spirit, come be with us this morning as we study the word that you inspired. Come guide our hearts and minds, protect us from thinking the wrong way, and help me to say what needs to be said in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't think we're going to get to verse 16 until tonight, based on the previous service. So I want to make sure that you understand a little bit about 16, and then we're going to go back to 15. From verse 16, Paul uses the analogy of a human body. And he says that this human body is fitly joined together. It is compacted or held together. And he says that joints supply what it needs to effectively work. I'm taking that King James word, effectually working. And Paul says that this body can effectually work in the measure of every part. Notice every part, not the deacons only, not the pastors only. Notice the word every part. And this is what that body does when it's working well. It makes increase unto the edifying of itself. Now, what an amazing illustration. If this thing called the body of Christ is working exceptionally well, if it's running well, it will edify itself. It will build itself up in love. It will heal itself. It will help itself. When this body of Christ is running well and working, we will work ourselves unto edification collectively. All of us. That's what the text is saying. And if you're in doubt, I'm going to unpack it completely tonight. I want to draw to your attention the word but. When I see but in my text, I'm obligated, David, to go back. I can't just ignore that. It's a connection word there. So how far back am I going to go? I'd like to go back until I see another but. Verse 7. Verse 7 in your Bible. But, so I'm going back to the previous contrasting conjunction. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. I want to draw your attention to grace. Draw your attention to the word measure. Draw your attention to the word gift. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He gave gifts unto men. I want to grab the word grace from verse number 7. I want to grab the word gifts from verse number 8. And I want to tell each and every one of you this morning that God, in his sovereignty, has given to each of you a multiplicity of grace gifts. Grace gifts. That within this collective thing called the body of Christ, God, at your salvation, and since then, has dumped gifts into your life. Gifts from Christ. And these spiritual gifts, hi Keith, here to see the grandbaby. These spiritual gifts are here to be used in the body of Christ. In fact, here's an amazing thought. Everything we need in this body to build itself up is presently here, given from Christ. So Christ knows Berean Baptist Church. Yes. And Christ says, this church needs some more of this. And so God gives supernaturally a member of this church this, or God supernaturally leads this family into our assembly, and they come with these spiritual gifts. And this collective giving of gifts from Christ to the church is designed so that we will build each other up. That's the idea. That's the thought. How do we do this? Here's the amazing idea. We do it the same way the therapist does it, the same way the counselor does it, the same way the psychiatrist does it, the same way the psychologist does it. We speak. We talk. Words. We don't just stare at each other. We don't just do that cursory, hi, brother, welcome. I didn't even get a handshake on that one. I'm just messing with him. He knows that. You know, the... No. We speak. I don't mean, how are you doing? Is the grass growing? No. We know each other and we speak to each other. Words are communicated. I mean, true words, authentic words, connecting words, deep words. Not how's the weather, what oil do you use, did you see that game, NASCAR's looking awesome, fantasy baseball's team's not doing well. Not those kind of words. The same kind of words that a counselor would be talking to you, a therapist would be talking about, those speaking truth in love words are supposed to be here in the body of Christ. So here's my thought from the text. Everything I need for my own spiritual edification in spiritual maturity and growth is found here. Here, right here. That I do not need to go outside this body for my own edification. That what I need to do, listen to me, is connect more into this body, not less. And I don't need to go outside the body, Google, Yellow Pages, to find what I need. It's here. I believe in God's sovereign will, who has placed in the body of Christ all that I need for my own spiritual edification through various gifts given by Christ to the body of Christ. I'm going to give one disclaimer, and then I'll preach. Sometimes chemicals make a difference. Sometimes. We need to be very careful about this. It is certainly not our first choice. We want to seek God's will. Is there truth that needs to be spoken in my life? But let's recognize our bodies are full of chemicals. And sometimes, used appropriately and carefully, it can help. But never isolated. Always in conjunction with the body of Christ. Always, always in conjunction with there's an issue. And sometimes we're going to apply some chemicals to the situation for short term in order to get out of the situation. And I'm not going to try to define short term. Every situation is difficult. Every person is difficult. The human body is incredibly difficult. But our first choice for help is here. And we'll do that. We'll talk about that all throughout the sermon. Here's my thought. It comes from Paul to Peter. He says, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake. In other words, there are times when our human body needs some help. There are times. Everything isn't always just a spiritual problem that can be solved with words of truth. Okay? If I have a splitting headache, I may take some Tylenol to deal with that. If I'm struggling with post-picket, whatever it is, I may need something small, something short-term to help. But I'm never going to seek that as the first option. I want to get here, this thing called the body of Christ. So here's God's plan. Speaking the truth in love. Christians in the body of Christ communicating words. Let's just deal with a few scenarios. Let's create a 19-year-old in the body of Christ. Let's create a 19-year-old. We've got a 19-year-old in the body of Christ. And he has been looking for a job, looking for a job, looking for a job, looking for a job. And he comes to you, David. He comes to you, Bob. And he can't get a job. What you identified on this 19-year-old is that his hair is everywhere. I mean, it's like everywhere. And you've never seen him comb it. And you've never seen him cut it. It's like everywhere. And there's this little cool thing. It dangles out here a little bit. And you look to him and you go, you know, that's what you think, David. If the guy would cut his hair, I bet you he'd get a job. Okay? That's what you think. But you know, couldn't say that to him. Couldn't say that to him. So this is what you do. This is what we do. Brother, I'll pray for you. Hello? I'll pray for you. And then this is what you do as you're walking away. I ain't praying for that guy. If he just cut his hair, he'd get a job. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm all chewed up, Pastor. That scenario would never happen. So here's what happens. Four or five brothers in Christ in the church all have had those thoughts. But none of them are willing to speak truth into his life. So the guy goes, I have been trying to get a job and trying to get a job and trying to get a job. And he says, you know what? I need to go find a job counselor. I need to go see a job counselor. He'll be the expert that can help me. So he hires a job counselor. He pays the job counselor money. And the job counselor says, you need to cut your hair and comb it. Got it. I'll do it. And so you see him cut. His hair's cut, looking sharp. Hey, cut your hair. Well, the job counselor told me I need to cut my hair. Five guys in the church knew that that's what he needed to do. But nobody is willing to speak truth into his life with love. Nobody. So an issue that could have been taken care of inside the church is resolved outside the body of Christ because instead of speaking truth in love into each other's lives, you know what we do? We say, I'm praying for you, and we don't even do that. That's why I said this is a unique message this morning, because I really want to talk to us as a church, and I want to talk about the kind of church we're willing to be. When within this church are a multitude of men and women who know how to get jobs. They know how to get jobs. They know how to do interviews. They know how to present yourself well. And they've been given wisdom from God, gifts from God to help with that area, but they're not using those gifts in the body of Christ. That's the kind of thing I want to talk about. So what is truth? Truth is that which is in line with the Bible, as revealed in the Bible, and that which isn't false. That which isn't false. So just because I can't find a Bible verse to prove with you doesn't mean that it's not true. I don't have to have a Bible verse, Joan, to tell you that you'll do better in job interviews if your hair is combed. Show it to me in the Bible. Can't. I just know it's true. It sounds ridiculous, isn't it? So let's change it. Let's talk about a different scenario since that one's falling flat. Let's do another one. Let's do three ladies. We picked on the 19-year-old guy who needs to cut his hair. Let's do three ladies. Let's grab three ladies who work together in the nursery. They spend 1 hour and 15 minutes together in the nursery in the second service because the preacher won't shut up, and so it just goes on forever and ever. Okay? And the ladies identify that one of the ladies in there won't let it go. She's got some resentment issues, some unforgiveness. You follow me? She won't let it go. She's got some deep-seated unforgiveness in her life. Now, I hope you don't think this one's unrealistic, because I'm afraid this happens all the time. And the other two ladies in there are spiritual ladies. And they know that the gospel compels us to do what? What does the gospel compel us to do, church?
Forgive.
To forgive. And the Holy Spirit is working, and the Holy Spirit seems to be leading one of the ladies to speak to the situation. You gotta speak to that situation that can't let the, but you know what happens? Fear takes over. Fear does. Fear silences the ladies. Fear of offending. Fear of, and so they silence. And so this goes on unresolved, Julia, until an ulcer develops. An ulcer develops because rooted bitterness, unforgiveness, will create physical issues in the person's life. Yes or no? So you know what the person does? They go to their doctor. And the doctor takes care of the physical issue, but recognizes there's some deep-seated bitterness, so the doctor refers them to a therapist. Now, therapist referral is done through Blue Cross and Blue Shield, so it has nothing to do with the church. And they go to the therapist. Now, I want you to think about what I just described. An unnecessary doctor visit occurred because an ulcer developed and a physical ailment happened. Weeks of therapy occurs afterwards to deal with not just the physical issues, but hopefully the other issues to get rid of the ulcer, future in the future tense, all of which was paid for by our insurance. And every bit of this happened because nobody in the body of Christ was willing to speak truth into the person's life. Now you just tell me, Pastor, you're all wet and we'll go home. All chewed up. That I don't know what planet you're living on, but that could never happen in the church. Because I think that this text right here speaks to us today. And says to us that within this church, if everyone uses the gifts that they've been given, everyone uses the gifts that they've been given, we can heal ourselves. We can build ourselves up. We can encourage each other. We can edify each other. But what this will require is that every member of the body of Christ recognizes I have been given gifts from God to be used in the church for the edification of the body of Christ. Everyone has to do that. This is not a preacher laity issue. I, Sean Harris, need people to speak truth into my life. I'm not exempt from that. I am a sinner saved by grace, just like you. And I need godly men to speak truth into my life. I want to hear it spoken into my life. Scripture is clear. It's all good. It's profitable for reproof and for correction and instruction in righteous living. This truth is not in the Bible. I cannot come to you, Chad, and say, stop smoking because of Proverbs and then grab a verse. But I can tell you, smoking leads to cancer. You're not taking care of your body. You should stop. I would be speaking truth into his life. Chad doesn't smoke, but we just use him as an example. Now, would you turn to 1 Timothy? I want to connect this. First Timothy, please. First Timothy chapter number 3, please. Paul, writing to young Timothy, says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how to that thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. Notice these words now. The pillar and ground of truth. This is it. This is God's plan for truth. This thing, the body of Christ. This is truth central. Now, we should not be surprised that there's a multitude of people who do not have any truth spoken into their lives from the church when they come to a worship service twice a month for 1 hour. No wonder. No wonder why for them the pillar and ground of truth is not the church. They connect twice a month. Joan, there's no way we are going to ever develop a relationship sufficient for me to speak truth into your life in an intimate and personal way if I see you twice a month for 1 hour. So what happens is when these people need truth spoken into their life, they go where everyone else goes, Google. I didn't say that to be funny, although it is funny, isn't it? It is funny. Can I create another situation? A church family, a dear church family, has a son or a daughter at the age of 12 or 13 that is struggling with same-sex attraction. And we should not be surprised that more will struggle with this as it's becoming more and more normative. They go to a public school where it's normative. They read books where it's normative. They're instructed that it's a good thing. So they come home with this now issue. Now, Mike, they're devastated. They're overwhelmed. This is probably, other than suicide, some of the most difficult things that could happen in their life. But they've only come to church twice a month for our worship services. They barely know the preacher's name. They have no connection into the body of Christ through a Sunday school class or a Bible study. So, John, what they do is they Google Christian therapist. They Google Christian therapists because they need help. And they're Christians. And they go to the internet because that's where they go for all truth. And the internet pulls up a Christian website. So they call and connect in and get an appointment. They ask this question, do you go to church? And they get the answer, yes. Are you a Christian? They get the answer, yes. They decide that they're going to take it a step further and they say, are you a Baptist? And they say, yes, I'm a Baptist. So I'm a Christian, I'm a Baptist, I go to church. Good. They take their child and they go, can you help us? And they turn the child over to the therapist. The problem is the Christian counselor is a member of Pullen Memorial Church in Raleigh, and Pullen Memorial Church is an LGBT affirming and welcoming church. without even realizing it, the family has turned their son or daughter over to a Christian Baptist therapist who does not have the same values they have. Now, they thought they were asking all the right questions and doing the right thing. The church is the pillar and ground of truth. The church is. But if you'll only come to church twice a month for 50 minutes, don't be surprised that no one is speaking truth into your life. Don't be surprised. They don't even know who you are. How are you going to speak truth into someone's life who they don't even know? I need you to understand how relevant the point I'm making. With the invention of these type of devices, the internet is becoming the source of all truth, not the church. I hope you realize how spot on I am. I'm not trying to boast, but I really believe the Lord led me in thinking through this week. First to move it from Sunday night to Sunday morning, and then to think about the application of speaking the truth in love. The truth I need to hear into my life needs to come from godly men and women who've been given gifts from Christ in the church that I attend. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I am not saying that God can't use people outside the church. Of course he does. Of course. Mike Martin, Misty Martin, they help people all over Fayetteville who don't have churches or don't have churches where people don't speak truth into their lives. That is a glorious ministry. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm saying that in this body, God has sovereignly given us each grace gifts so that we will speak truth in love into each other's lives as the Lord leads us so that we heal ourselves. We build ourselves up. That's why you've seen such a giant emphasis in the last weeks and months about connecting Sunday school groups, barbecues, fellowships, get acquainted dinners, because there's no way anybody's going to be able to speak hard truth into your life if you don't have a relationship. It's not going to happen. It will not happen. There are hundreds of thousands of people all over this eastern side of North Carolina that claim to be Christians, and there isn't one person that will speak truth into their lives. Not one. They don't have one person that speaks truth into their lives. And that's why they go outside and to Google to find it. Next slide, please. So I want to ask this question. Who speaks truth into your life? You see this up here? These are not church organizations. Yet there are people that go to church and get more truth spoken into their lives from these organizations than the church. You know why? They haven't been taught that the church is the ground and pillar of truth, and that the truth that gets spoken into my life comes from the church. Now think about this. Think about a guy who comes to church with his wife once or twice a month, but weekly attends the meeting at this lodge. Weekly, David. Weekly. He's got the stickers. He's got the placards. He's got the outfit. Who is going to have more influence in his life? That church or those people? Those. This is a result. These organizations are a result of living in a fallen world to provide an alternative for a church that wasn't doing its job. Because within this church, I should be able to find all the fellowship, all the kinship, all the relationships, all the community, all the mentorship, and everything I need here. I should not have to go and be a member of one of those organizations to be part of a community, John. This is God's community. This is not weekly check the block, worship for 45 minutes and check out. This is my church. It is the pillar and ground of truth. I receive from this church truth. Men and women speak truth into my life, into this church. I'll remind you, the church has Christ as its only head, who is the Son of God. The church preaches the true gospel. The church practices certain ordinances. The church has the Bible as its only book for faith and practice. The church has pastors who are under shepherds. The church has all ethnicities being welcomed, and the church practices discipline. On that previous slide, Art, go back, please. None of those things are happening. Peter says that the knowledge of Christ is all that I need for life and godliness. So truth must be Christ-centered. Paul does this with the gospel, the truth of the gospel. He says, Peter, you're not applying the truth of the gospel. And then we want to say it's not enough to speak truth. It must be spoken in love, in love. Now I want to pause and talk about this, because we certainly do not need a church full of people that are running around speaking truth into each other's lives without love. That's disastrous. That's disastrous. Well, how do I know how much love to apply, Pastor, and how do I do this? This is hard stuff. The answer is yes, it is. This is very hard stuff. For me to speak truth into your life, hard truth. I don't mean easy truth, I mean hard truth. Let's create a male in the church who is habitually rude to his wife. And we spend enough time together in small group and Bible studies that we've identified this guy is just rude to his wife all the time. We never see him repenting. We never see him apologizing. We go over to his house for a backyard barbecue, and he rips the face off of his wife because the coleslaw isn't quite right. And there's no evidence that there's repentance. He's just always ripping somebody's face off. You say that couldn't happen in the church. I wish that wasn't true. So now, with that scenario, John, somebody needs to speak some truth into that guy's life. Now, that's not going to be easy, church. That's not going to be easy. You can't just walk up to somebody and speak that hard truth into their life. What do you need? A relationship. You need a relationship. You got to have a relationship. You got to have sensitivity to the Lord, to the Holy Spirit. You've got to figure out, how am I going to do this? Show them my next slide, Art. I think that we've got to infuse it with gentle, wise, careful words and tone. We've got to be unbelievably gracious. This is super hard. And every bit of this is predicated upon how well do we know each other. Steve Wilson and I have been friends for 25 years. I don't need him to flower everything up for me. Just give it to me. You know why? Because he's demonstrated for 25 years a care and concern for me and my family. You know what that does? That gives him, Adam, credibility. That gives him license. That becomes the pathway or the highway to speak into my life quickly and effectively. We don't need to spend hours. Just tell me what I need to fix. But Ann, let's say that you're working in the nursery and you're dealing with a young married lady and you don't really know her very well, but you can see some things. You hear her constantly running her husband down. I mean, every time she's in the nursery, he's this and not doing this. And you know she's not building him up. and you've been married for these many years and you had an amazing marriage. And so you need to speak some truth into her life. But can she do that right off the bat? Depends. How gracious can she be? How careful can she be? Can she broach the subject just a little bit to set the conditions for more? Can they go out to lunch together? Can they have a follow-up time? Can they carefully and graciously begin to infuse truth into the situation? Do not expect for 1 minute for all truth to be spoken from the pulpit and that's it. No. Instead, the text says that the preachers do the work of the ministry to equip the body of Christ for the perfecting of the body of Christ, David, so that every member is a minister. So in this scenario, Anne is thinking in her mind, I know certain situations, and the pastor is encouraging me and equipping me with eyes and ways of and submitting the gospel. And so I'm now better prepared to go into the situation and graciously, carefully, wisely, gently, kindly speak truth into the situation. Now let me ask you, do you think that if we started doing this more, that it would have an impact on the body of Christ? I mean, what is the point of building these deep, abiding relationships if we never speak truth into each other's lives? What is the point? Let's end with Jesus. Go to John 5 and we'll be done. I'll try to do my best to do this in 2 minutes. Don't laugh. You know, there's no bonus for me to get you out of here on time. Okay, I don't get rewarded. There's nothing in my contract that says, you know, Pastor, we're tracking the number of Sundays you get done by noon. And if you get this many out of the year, you know, you get a bonus. There's no incentive. So I just want to let you know that, deacons, that if you want to get out by noon, you need to create a... I'm just kidding. Visitors, that was just a terrible attempt at being funny. Sorry. Just 2 minutes before the end of the sermon. And I know we've had a heavy thought this morning. And so I just want to provide some levity. All right, it was terrible. When therefore the Lord knew how that the Pharisees had heard, reading from verse 1 of chapter 4 in the book of John. If I said 5, I'm sorry, John 4. Flip back one chapter. When therefore the Lord knew how that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea, departed in, and he said, I must needs go through Samaria. Must needs. We've got a divine appointment. God has providentially ordained that I meet a woman at the well. I want you to think about that. God has providentially arranged that you and her work nursery again. I'm trying to be real realistic this morning, church. I don't want to be pie in the sky theology. I want to bring it down to us. I want you to see that if Jesus Christ can be led by the Holy Spirit to meet a woman in Samaria to confront her with something, and you too are infused with spiritual gifts, you also can be led by the Lord. Yes. That you also can receive that. You do understand that Christ was led by the Holy Spirit. Yes. As an example for how we are to be led by the Holy Spirit. It's the same idea. So let's look at this encounter and we'll be done. All right, next slide. So Jesus says, give me something to drink. And she says, how is it that thou being a Jew asked to drink of me? And I am a woman of Samaria. Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. This is going all the way back to 722 when the kingdom split and the issue with the Assyrians. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, who it is that says unto thee, give me drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. So she is over here in the physical realm dealing with physical water, and he wants to talk to her about her soul. All right, let's continue. Sir, you've got nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. How are you going to give me some water? Say it. How are you going to give me some water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus said, whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And she says, if you can provide indoor plumbing, I want it. I wasn't being funny. Look what she thinks. Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come here to draw. Never have to come back here. That's awesome. If I can have water in my kitchen and I never have to make this trip, that's awesome. You know what you've got going on? Christ is dealing with her soul and she is living in a physical world. You see it? You see the difference? So look at his next question. Not question, but demand. Go get your husband. Go get your husband. So what is this all about? This woman has had 5 husbands, and she's currently cohabitating with someone. Now, this is what Jesus is doing at this given moment. He's speaking truth into her life concerning sin. And she'll never get to the spiritual understanding until the sin is confronted. But he doesn't say, stop committing adultery. He helps her, through gracious words, discover that she's cohabitating. And this is a problem. Go get your husband. Now, here's my thought. I believe that the same Holy Spirit that led Jesus to say, go call your husband, lives inside you. And that if you and I are willing to be in touch with the Holy Spirit for those divine appointments, we can help others work through sin and find Christ. But here's the issue. We've got to be willing to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We do. We have to recognize the Spirit lives in me and can guide me in all truth, including truth in love to people in the body of Christ. I believe that if we'll start doing this, we'll see the building up of this church. Let's pray. Father, help us. Help us to do what the text tells us to do. Help us to figure out tonight how to do it better, how to do it more effectively, how to put more application into this, looking at verse 16. Help us to make this a reality. Would you bow right now? And would you ask yourself just a point of introspectiveness, just a quiet time? Who speaks truth into my life? For example, do you allow your wife to speak truth into your life? Could your wife confront you with a hard truth like, sweetheart, you never ask for forgiveness? And if you were to hear that hard truth, would you respond with the appropriate measure of acceptance, or would it create an even greater divide between you and your wife? If someone was to come up to you and say you're habitually in a foul mood, is there anyone that could speak that truth into your life and you would hear it well? Do you allow people to speak truth into your life? And then question number 2. Has the Lord put on your heart? Has the indwelling Holy Spirit put on your heart an area where you probably need to be speaking truth into someone's life? Anybody? Son, daughter, brother, sister, brother in Christ, sister in Christ, husband, wife. Anyone, has the Lord, through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, led you to consider anyone? That is there anyone in your Sunday school class, in a Bible study you attend? Is there any location or any ministry that you're a part of in which you need to consider speaking truth into someone's life? Father in heaven, would you guide us? Would you direct us? Would you fill us with your Spirit so that we may be useful servants, connecting with the spiritual gifts that you've given us? In Jesus' name, amen.